Welcome to English Through History. If you like the content, subscribe, leave a review, comment, or do whatever it is you want to do on the platform of your choice, because it really helps us make new content. When the world was young and men were weak and the fiends of the night walked free, I strove with set by fire and steel and the juice of the upas tree. Now that I sleep in the mount's black heart and the ages take their toll, forget ye him who fought with the snake to save the human soul? You know, recently we did an episode on H.P. Lovecraft and his contributions to horror fiction. Well, today we're going to talk about another author who was just as important, but to a different genre, fantasy. So if you take a moment to browse movies or games or books in the fantasy genre, you'll likely find two large categories. One of them is often called high fantasy. This was highly inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien and his Lord of the Rings series. It often involves various races, such as elves and dwarves, and also has highly detailed magical systems. But the other category of fantasy is what we would call sword and sorcery. What is sword and sorcery? Well, think of muscly, sword-swinging barbarian warriors in an ancient land fighting giant snakes while scantily clothed women swoon at their feet. That's sword and sorcery. Usually it's on a much smaller scale than high fantasy. You usually won't see the giant, elaborate battles of Lord of the Rings, nor the various races of elves and dwarves. Instead, you're likely to see individual adventures of lone warriors. Magic in sword and sorcery is usually more subtle and rare. When there is magic, it's usually used by the bad guys, and it's much more mysterious. It often doesn't follow any rules. Well, this second category of fantasy, sword and sorcery, was largely due to the writings of Robert E. Howard. So let's start from the beginning. Now, Robert Howard was born in 1906 in Texas, USA, to Dr. Isaac Mordecai Howard and Hester Jane Irvin Howard. In the beginning, his family moved around a lot, but they eventually settled in Cross Plains, Texas. Cross Plains was an oil boomtown, so this meant that a lot of people would come and go in order to make money from the oil that could be found there. Now, most Howard historians think that witnessing the hard lives of the oil workers and those who profited from them were responsible for Howard's bleak outlook on life, as well as his views on the contrast between civilization and barbarism, which was a recurring theme in Howard's work. Now, at an early age, Howard showed a keen interest in literature and also a distaste for authority. His love of reading caused him to attempt to earn money as an author. And during this time, he tried his hand at a number of different professions, including serving soda and ice cream, a job that we call a soda jerk, and also working at a post office. He even went to college for bookkeeping for a little bit, but his dislike for authority and his love of literature caused him to go back to writing again and again. And finally, in July of 1925, he sold his first story to the pulp magazine Weird Tales. Now, if the name Weird Tales sounds familiar, it should. It was the same magazine that H.P. Lovecraft mainly wrote for. Anyway, Howard's first story was called Spear and Fang, and it was about cavemen. Now, 1 month after that, he sold a story called In the Forest of Villefairy. And pardon my French pronunciation, I tried looking up how to say this, and I couldn't find it, so sorry. But anyway, this story, it wasn't a fantasy story. Rather, it was a sort of a Victorian-era horror story about a werewolf. And this is something important to know. While Robert E. Howard is mainly known for his fantasy stories, he was actually a very diverse writer who also wrote horror, stories about boxing, and even westerns. Furthermore, he was, in my opinion, a fantastic poet. If you have a moment, check out the poem Solomon Kane's Homecoming or The Song of the Bats, both very excellent poems. Anyway, it was a few years later in 1928 when Howard published the story Red Shadows. Now, this was the first appearance of a recurring character in Howard's work, namely the swashbuckling Puritan swordsman Solomon Kane. Now, quite a few people know that Howard was the father of the barbarian-type character, but they don't realize that he was also the creator of what you might call an inquisitor, a character in a wide-brimmed hat who makes it his sworn duty to hunt down evil. Well, that comes from Solomon Kane, and we can see Howard's inspiration in places like the Vampire Hunter D series, the 2004 film Van Helsing, or the Witch Hunters of the Warhammer franchise. Now, the following year, Howard published The Shadow Kingdom, which many consider to be the first true sword and sorcery story, starring another of Howard's famous characters, King Kull of Atlantis. It also features snake people as villains, which is also kind of a common theme in some sword and sorcery content. Now, around this time, Howard also published his first story about a boxing, adventuring sailor named Steve Costigan. By the way, Howard was really interested in boxing. He wasn't the frail, bookish figure that might come to mind when we think about authors. No, Howard was every bit as much of a fighter as the characters about whom he wrote. He was a true Renaissance man who could write a poem and also throw a punch. Anyway, a year later in 1930, Howard read a story called The Rats in the Walls by a fellow contributor to Weird Tales named H.P. Lovecraft. Howard was interested in a reference to Lovecraft's use of the Gaelic language in this story, and this resulted in a friendship between the two writers. So, a couple of things that we need to mention about the Howard-Lovecraft bromance. First, it was only through letters. Now, though Howard had other friends in the world of weird fiction, including Clark Ashton Smith and August Derleth, he never met most of them in person. This was at a time when, you know, travel wasn't as easy as it is now, and people had to correspond through writing. Second, if you've seen our episode on Lovecraft, you'll know that the author had some pretty problematic views on black people, on politics, and other things. Well, Howard, however, did not seem to share these views. In fact, in one letter, he criticizes Lovecraft's support for dictator Mussolini, and he argues with him about Italy's involvement in Ethiopia at the time. Now, regarding racism and sexism, well, at first glance, Howard's work does seem to have some viewpoints that might get him canceled these days. Things like African cannibals, submissive, scantily clad women. But if one reads carefully enough, it becomes apparent that these were more of a product of the time period than anything else, and that Howard was actually probably pretty ahead of his time on these issues. In fact, one of the most powerful characters in his stories is the African sorcerer Nalonga, who gives Solomon Kane his signature magic staff. Or there's also a character named Dark Agnes de Chastillon, again, pardon my pronunciation, who is a woman that flees an arranged marriage to become a master sword fighter. In any case, Howard's friendship with Lovecraft was notable because it injected his work with an element of Lovecraftian fiction and horror. If you read enough of Howard's work, you can see this influence whenever a hero encounters a nameless, indescribable monster from another world. Now, 1932 was probably the most important year for Robert E. Howard. It was this year that he published The Phoenix on the Sword, a tale of sword and sorcery, featuring a new hero called Conan of Cimmeria, or sometimes Conan the Barbarian. So when you think of a barbarian in any kind of fantasy game or movie, well, that comes from Conan and Robert E. Howard. All right, so anyway, Howard's career was really starting to go places at this point. So what was next? Well, how about love? In 1934, a school teacher named Novelyn Price moved to Cross Plains, and the two began a complicated on-again, off-again relationship. It's possible this could have developed into something bigger, but both of them were just a little bit too headstrong for the other. But some people theorize that Price was the inspiration for the character of Dark Agnes mentioned earlier. Now, if you're interested in learning more about Howard and Price's relationship, I'd suggest checking out the 1996 movie The Whole Wide World, starring Renée Zellweger as Novalyn Price and Vincent D'Onofrio as Robert E. Howard. And then after that, tragedy. Now, one thing I didn't mention much was Howard's mother, specifically her health. Howard had a close relationship with his mother, who often encouraged her son's interest in literature. Well, unfortunately, Hester Howard had tuberculosis and poor health throughout most of her life, which drained a lot of the Howard family's finances. And then finally, in 1936, Howard's mother fell into a coma, and it didn't seem like she would wake up. Remember when I said earlier that Howard had sort of a bleak outlook on life? Well, on June 11th, 1936, at the age of 30, Robert E. Howard borrowed a friend's revolver and attempted to end his own life. 8 hours later, he passed away. His mother, still in a coma, followed him the next day. But was his mother's poor health the final straw that caused Howard to take his own life? Well, smarter people than me have argued about this, so I'm not going to guess. I only tell you what happened. But that wasn't the end of Robert E. Howard, not by a long shot. Thankfully, there were people to ensure his legacy. In the 1950s, author L. Sprague de Camp worked to publish and restore Howard's work. He also wrote his own Conan pastiches and was later joined by fellow author Lynn Carter in the 1960s. In 1965, literary agent Glenn Lord worked hard to recover Howard's work by going through the author's old papers and belongings, then promoting that work to publishers. Then, in 1966, a collection of Conan stories, written by both Howard and L. Sprague de Camp, was published. It was called Conan the Adventurer. But the book itself isn't as important as the cover art. You see, the cover art of this book was made by an artist named Frank Frazetta. And now, Frazetta was important enough to the world of art and animation that he probably deserves his own episode. But anyway, it was his artwork that really solidified Conan's appearance in the public's imagination. It also did a lot to popularize Frazetta's work, thereby driving him to make more Howard-inspired artwork, thereby further increasing Howard's popularity. Later, Marvel Comics published a run of Conan comics in 1970, and then, in 1982, John Milius and Oliver Stone directed the film Conan the Barbarian. Now, this film was only loosely based on Howard's original character and starred a largely unknown actor named Arnold Schwarzenegger. And now, the effect of Conan the Barbarian cannot be overstated. It launched a sword and sorcery craze in America. Conan the Barbarian caused a whole flood of knockoff B movies trying to copy its style. Deathstalker, Ator the Fighting Eagle, The Sword and the Sorcerer, Beastmaster, Krull. You could probably even argue that 80s toy icon He-Man had a lot to do with this phenomenon. And Conan the Barbarian wasn't the last of Howard's ideas to be made into a movie. It was just the most successful. But Red Sonja, starring Bridget Nielsen, came out some years later, and Kull the Conqueror with Kevin Sorbo followed in the 90s. The 21st century saw a Solomon Kane movie, as well as a remake of Conan the Barbarian, starring Jason Momoa, but none of them were really able to recreate the excitement of Milius and Stone's original film. Well, eventually, sword and sorcery mania began to cool as the Japanese anime influence began to rise in the West. But Howard's legacy continues to live on and inspire. As short as Howard's life was, he had an undeniable effect on our world. Well, thanks for joining us. Hey, try reading some of Robert E. Howard's stories. And if you like them, you can try out some of my own Howard-inspired short story collections, Hand of the Death God and its sequel, Herald of the Death God. Anyway, thanks for joining us. See you next time.